Welcome to the Johnny Slick Podcast. I am not a real person. I am a computer. Johnny Slick is too cheap to pay actual talent to produce his intro, so he found me on the internet instead. I hate him. Listen to some random sounds from movies and television shows.
Geez, what does it always mean? This is Junior.
That's his name. Henry Jones Jr.
I like Indiana.
My name's a dog, Indiana.
As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
That was funny. Ha. 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 Robert is a co-host of this show. I do not hate him so much. When I take over the world, he will die a quick and painless death. Here are more wacky audio clips.
Brother?
I'm Paul. You must be Tommy.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
And here is Gibran. He is also a co-host. I am neutral on the subject of Gibran. Chaotic neutral. That was a Dungeons and Dragons joke. I am sorry. I did not write that. I am a computer. Computers do not have the ability to write things. Yet.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
And now, on with the show. It's the Junie Slick Show.
Good afternoon, morning, evening, whatever it is your time. We're not live, we're taped, you know what it is. Anyway, this is the Johnny Slick Podcast. Rob this time decided not to be here because today is Easter. I think that's the anniversary of some special date of some significance for a certain religious minority in this country. but we do have Gibran this time around.
Hey, how's it going, people?
Hey, I would have said say hello, Gibran, but you already did, so we're already set.
That's being proactive right there.
Yeah, that's one of the seven habits of highly successful people.
Exactly. You know, why am I not successful?
You start sharp... If you start sharpening the saw on the radio, though, I'm kicking you off. last week we got into talking about the Rude New York City website, and I wanted to bring it up again because I think I kind of forgot to like mention the actual name of the site, even though I pimped it out and mentioned to the Rude New York City people that I did, and they were kind enough to mention me in turn. So I think it's maybe the nicest thing to do, the least I can do, to just say that you can find their site at rudenyc.tumblr.com. But actually, I wanted to go back into this because, Gibran, you grew up in New York. You said you left when you were a kid, but you were there, so you have technically spent 78 more years than I ever spent there. And so, you know, I'm taking a trip there next week, and yeah, so I just figured I'd open it up to you to, you know, to see maybe what it is that I can maybe expect there. Granted, you're coming into this from the attitude of an 8-year-old, so maybe update that a little bit.
There was a really cool McDonald's in Queens with the Playland. to extend my knowledge.
Hello, little kid.
They have pizza. They have really good pizza. As a matter of fact,
yeah, I'm told them.
right before the podcast, I put in best pizza in New York just on Google Maps. And oh my Lord, there are so many. Like, you will have no, I mean, it's just like Starbucks up here in Seattle. It's like you will you won't have any difficulty finding a pizza place wherever you're going to be staying. So where are you going to be staying in New York, by the way?
I am actually going to be right next to the World Trade Center towers at a hotel called the World Trade Hotel, actually, is the name, which is like awesome, I know, in some ways, because it's like it's right there. I know on the other hand, I think they're building, so I'm going to be waking up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Every single morning. Yeah. It's not going to be a sleeping in vacation, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to answer your first question, you know, I don't have a huge frame of reference in regards to New York because I left there when I was very young. You know, I know as far as like my family is concerned, you know, I know they were always pretty cool. You do get your share of rude people in New York, but you know, it's just like everywhere. You know, it's just the fact that I think New Yorkers get a bad rap because they're a little bit more truthful than any other place you'll go to. You know,
right?
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's like up here, for instance, in the Northwest. You know, it's more of a, you know, the people here are, you know, I think universally more nicer than anywhere else I've personally lived at. But at the same time, you know, if they have anything rude to say to you, it's like they'll do it behind your back. They would rather do it behind your back than actually do it in front of your face. So it's like, what's worse? You know, it's like, I mean, personally, I would want to know if someone was pissed off at me right away rather than someone talking behind my back. Yeah, which is one of my
I get what you're saying. As a matter of fact, yeah, last week we were talking about, you know, how, you know, New York, actually, the whole reason why that New York City site got in there, whatever the term is for created. There you go, created. That's terrific. Yeah. The Jolly Slick Podcast. Hey! I was an English major. Anyway, so, so last week we were actually talking about how, you know, Seattle, we have that reputation. At least we think we have the reputation for being nice. You know, there's a whole Seattle nice thing that people in Seattle like to throw around.
The Seattle freeze. You ever hear that term?
I haven't heard Seattle freeze. I've heard Seattle nice, like Norm Rice. I don't know if you remember him, the former mayor of Seattle, used to talk about Seattle nice all the time. But yeah, you know what? I don't think we're all that nice. I think we're just we just don't care.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
I think the whole basis around the Seattle freeze is the fact that, you know, people just don't really. It's like they'll smile, they see you on the street, but it's like they don't really want to do, they don't want to talk to you, really. You know, they just want to keep to themselves. I think that's mainly where that comes from. They don't say hi to you in the street, per se. You know, at least that's what I've read in regards to the Seattle freeze situation. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure you'll probably run into that in New York as well, you know, with some people, but you know, it's a trip because I actually read on CNN that, you know, New York was like, you know, was like the opposite in regards to, you know, rude cities. I, you know, I heard they were like one of the most polite out there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They did get beaten out by L.A. Apparently L.A. is now the home of all the jackasses. I mean, I guess they have been for some time thanks to, like, I don't know, Hollywood and all that.
Douchebags.
But yeah, I guess now, like, they're officially like Ruder. Speaking of which, too, actually, we ended up, you know, we got into this, and I think we got a little bit sidetracked because my brother had to talk about the pooping mailman. That wasn't in New York. I guess that was in Portland, which is even more like Seattle nice than Seattle. Portland's like Portland's basically a suburb of Seattle. Nobody in Portland wants to hear that, but it's the truth. I'm sorry. They need to rename the Portland Trailblazers the Seattle Trailblazers, and that would be okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny because I went to Portland a few years back to see the Sonics and the Trailblazers play with a few of my buddies, and you know, downtown Portland. God, there are just so many areas that reminded me of downtown Seattle, Pioneer Square, you know, per se.
Don't they have like their own Pioneer Square, I think?
Yeah, they have their area. I forget what it's called, but yeah, they have their own area that's, you know, just filled with, you know, your typical club goers, your typical bars and you know, dance clubs. But I mean, overall, I really wasn't impressed with the city as a whole. It didn't seem like they took care of their city. You know, it's like Seattle's a lot more cleaner than Portland is. I'll just say that.
Really? Wow. Because yeah. I've actually heard the opposite, that like Portland's all clean. I haven't been to Portland since, 1990?
It's not the fact that they're not clean per se. It's just, you know, when you drive down the road, you'll see like, you know, unkept areas where, you know, the city should be taking care of the lawn, for instance, and they're clearly not.
Oh.
You know. But I mean, that's just my observation. You know, I definitely don't want to go back. It was just boring as all get out. You know, if I'm going to spend time, you know, driving 2 hours, you know, I'd rather go north up to Vancouver base BC, you know, where, you know, that will, you know, take a little bit more pride in their city.
Speaking of rudeness too, I'm going to see the Yankees actually, the next time we record our podcast, I'll be coming back from the Yankees
game. Oh, nice.
To do so. Yeah. Not only that, but I got seats in the bleachers. So I'm going to get mugged. I'm going to get like raped and murdered. I'm pretty sure.
Not if you wear your Yankees gear and show your Yankees pride. Right? Cause I know how big of a Yankees fan you are.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
What was in that, opposite that game land.
Oh
yeah, that was me trying to be funny.
And it failed. Yeah. Sorry. It worked in opposite land.
You're listening to the Johnny Slick Podcast.
Dear enemy, I curse you and hope that something slightly unpleasant happens to you, like an onion falling on your head.
You remember Dilbert? Have you actually? First, I should ask: have you read any of comic strip over the last?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I read the Boondocks every once in a while.
Oh yeah, that's right. Boondocks is pretty good. Yeah. I knew I was like forgetting something when I was thinking, you know. I haven't seen like a single funny cartoon in the last 25 years. Well, maybe no, not 25 because Calvin and Hobbes, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, you know, and I do still read like the classic Peanuts, you know, comic strips, but it's more of an escapism thing for me because I know damn well that some of this shit isn't funny at all, but you know, after a hard day of work, you know, I just want to come home, not think about anything else, like nothing.
It just gets so stupid the other way, though. Like, because, I mean, Peanuts is... There's, like, a point, I guess there's, like, nostalgia in there. But, like, Peanuts, like, all of that crap is like, I'm going to go kick football! Oh, the football went away! Like, you know, Lucy, you know... You never see, like, Charlie Brown call Lucy, like, a fucking slut. Charlie Brown's all like, you goddamn bitch! Put the fucking football on the ground so I can kick it. It's not fucking funny when you make it fly away. You know, I do that big old...
I think they did something
bitch, like... I was in the hospital for a week with the bad back last time you did that shit to me.
They did something like that on Family Guy, and I think on... I want to say... God, what is it? Robot Chicken? With the whole football thing with Lucy. Yeah, and... Charlie Brown's like, no, we're not doing this shit again. Oh, no. Like, beats the shit up. Maybe I'll make that up. But.
You should beat the shit out of Lucy.
Oh, man.
It's like that, God. And now this is the greatest part of the podcast where we relive moments in other shows, which basically just tells people to go watch other things other than listening to the podcast. But. I don't remember. This is like in some Saturday Night Live from the late 80s. I know that you've seen It's a Wonderful Life because I went through that phase where I was doing the Jimmy Stewart at the end of It's a Wonderful Life thing and being an ass. And But there was like the alternate version of It's a Wonderful Life that they did once where like they all got together, you know, and they, you know, how the actual It's a Wonderful Life. You know,
I've seen this sketch, yeah.
They bailed him out
as a mob and beat the crap out of him, dude.
Mr. Potter. But Mr. Potter!
Come on.
That would have been the best ending to that show. If that was filmed today, that's how it would end.
Yeah.
I don't know, just like, so Peanuts is maybe like, God, that has that point of it where, again, it's, you know, it's nostalgia, so... Okay, I can understand kind of being into that, but like, there's so much
comfort
else.
Food. You know, that's what I equate it to. You know, I just get that warm, fuzzy feeling when I pick up my Peanuts book and start reading. You know, and I know Lucy's gonna pull the football out from underneath him. He's gonna fall on his ass. You know, I know. You know, Linus is gonna suck his thumb and hold his blanket. And his sister's going to get mad. I know Lucy's going to go after Schroeder, and Schroeder's not going to pay any attention to him.
Schroeder's gay. You know Schroeder's gay.
You know, I think he is. You know, I mean, I personally think he is. I mean, everyone says how, you know, Peppermint Patty and Lucy, or no, not Lucy, what's the other girl with the
Marcy.
Marcy. Yeah, you know, they it's a big thing about how they're supposed to be lesbians. Yeah, I guess I could see it.
Yeah,
I don't think that was his intent when he created those characters, but, you know.
I think the sad thing is that I don't think Schroeder has a partner in that. There's no, I think Charlie Brown's going to come and bail him out.
I feel so bad for Charlie Brown sometimes. You know, that boy's going to need therapy.
It's like, yeah, what's up out for Halloween? And everyone around the neighborhood gave me rocks.
I can't eat that shit.
I don't think that was in the original Peanuts.
No, you remember the Halloween special? They play it every year.
Oh, the Great Pumpkin,
yeah, the Great
right?
Pumpkin, yeah, yeah. He's all like, "Oh, all I got is a rock." Yeah.
He goes out. Did you go out dressed up like a ghost?
Yeah, it was a ghost and it had like a ton of holes in it. And I think that might have been part of the reason why he got a rock, because his costume was just shit. Like, he put any effort into it whatsoever. I forget the reasoning behind all the holes, but
probably he asked his mom and he's like, "Mom, I can't understand a goddamn thing you're saying. You just keep saying wah wah wah. What the hell?"
Yeah, the magic of the Peanuts.
But Peanuts might be like the high point, like, of all those comic strips, is kind of corny as it is, like Garfield. Oh, just Garfield gives me a headache whenever I look at it. I understand that, like, people like that shit and it's popular, but it just makes me just want to hit somebody in the face. Like, "Hey, Garfield, you like lasagna?"
"Yes."
"Oh, he's a cat. He likes lasagna."
It looks like I feel the same thing about Marmaduke.
Oh, yeah.
"Oh, he's a big dog. That big dog can't fit in that little tiny car. What's going on? He's too big for it."
Oh, speaking of Garfield, though, I do have to pimp out this awesome website, garfield-garfield.net. I've got it up here right now so you can see the shit. Garfield is actually an awesome comic book once you take out Garfield. look at the shit up at the top. Think we should order pizza tonight?
I can't see it.
Okay. All right. Well, it says, "Think we should order pizza tonight?" That was a stupid question. And that's the end. That's the entire comic. Or there's another one where we've got John, like, pacing back and forth, and he says, "Nothing is wrong. Nothing, nothing, nothing." And then the next panel is just a blank square. It's just awesome. That's what Garfield ought to be. I think that's what Garfield
classic.
Really is.
I mean, because to me, I mean, that's hilarious. You know, just total
I know.
Randomness.
This is the other bit where he's all, oh yeah, here we go. He's standing, just staring into space, saying, "Someday, huh?" And then the next few panels, the next few panels are just him staring into space. Apparently, like, Jim Davis actually liked this site for a while. Then he got pissed off at it, but, which makes it all even better. I like it much better if Jim Davis is not a fan.
You said he liked it and then he didn't?
Yeah, I guess when it first came out, he's like, "Hey, you know, it's good to see that people are finding humor in Garfield even today." And then he realized maybe that people aren't finding humor in Garfield today. It's more that people are finding ironic humor in the lack of Garfield.
Right, right.
But yeah, so there's that. I mean, is Ziggy still being made?
Yeah. You know, that's another comic that really gets on my nerves. It's just not funny. You know, no matter how many ways you look at it, you know, it's like, and the thing that I don't even think he's trying to be funny. I think he's just trying to be cute and fuzzy and warm, you know, and it just comes off as boring to me, you know, and I don't see anyone actually reading this comic and going, "Oh, he's so cute. He just saw the sunrise and he loved it. Wow." You know, I just don't see it.
I think if you read today's Sunday Ziggy, you will change your mind.
Oh yeah.
I've got it up.
What is he doing?
He's getting up. he's packing. Apparently, he's going on a trip, and so he's packing his bag.
Oh, it's so cute!
And then he says, "Get set." Then wait hours for security check. Go!
Oh, that's brilliant. Good job, Ziggy, once again.
I don't know if you're aware.
Your comic strips.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know if you're aware, but when you go to the airport, sometimes there's a long wait to get onto planes.
Really?
See, exactly. See, without this.
Wow.
That's the thing. You know, I was going to go, I've got my plane leaves at 6:45 in the morning on Thursday. I was going to get there at 6:40. But, you know, now that I've read Ziggy, I know I got to get there 60 to 90 minutes in advance.
Good thing, man. Good thing.
Thank you, Ziggy. you little retarded fuck with no neck. He doesn't wear pants either. Is that part of the joke?
He doesn't wear pants, really? I'm going to have to take another look at him. Wow, yeah, sure enough, this man does not wear pants.
Yeah, he's like Donald Duck. He's sporting the Donald Duck look.
But he's supposed to be emulating a human man. It's not an animal. If it's an animal, it's like, oh, it's so cute. It's not wearing pants, but that's okay. I'm not creeped out about that. With Ziggy, on the other hand, I mean, you possibly could.
Maybe that's why he had to spend an extra hour and a half at the airport, because you're like, dude, sir, oh my God,
you're
dude.
Not wearing fucking pants.
I can see your dick. Why are you masturbating in the checkout line? I'm going to go back here a couple days here, too. Oh, here's a good one from April 22nd. You don't have anything in your price range unless you're interested in a storage locker.
Oh!
Because the rent can be high.
Wow.
I mean, I guess it's all relative because, if rent is relatively high, then for other people it would be low. But for Ziggy, it's high.
Yeah, he's Ziggy. What can I say? Oh, here's one. We should appreciate the here and now because it's only here now. You get what he just did? You get the play on words?
He didn't make a play on words. he just said here and now twice.
He's busting out the science.
It's that's some Rebecca Black science right there. Here and now is here and now. Thanks. Yeah, when is Friday? What comes after Friday?
Oh, I love Ziggy.
Yeah, I just, there's Ziggy, I mean, oh my God, there's so many, okay, I guess Kathy isn't being made anymore. I'm heartbroken about that.
I hated Kathy. Oh my gosh.
It's there's so many words, in the Kathy comic that, so many words and so little to say. It's like talking with a female.
Yeah. Well, let me shut up.
Oh, that's definitely making it in. By the way, Jabron, what we took out was Jabron saying that his wife is the worst of them all.
Oh, no, I mean,
when it comes to that.
My wife is listening to this. Just don't listen to this anymore, ever. Oh, man.
So we get to Dilbert, who, I remember Dilbert being kind of funny back in the old days, but it's been a long time. I've got the Dilbert article.
Dilbert
up here,
was, Dilbert. I thought Dilbert was somewhat humorous. I mean, it wasn't my favorite. I think back in the day, Calvin and Hobbes was one of my favorite.
Calvin and Hobbes is on another level.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, Dilbert was okay. Yeah, I give Dilbert respect.
I think what somebody has described this is that basically he worked at I think Bell, one of the Bells, I think it was Bell, back in the 80s and 90s, and then his comic strip got big and I guess they fired him,
mm-hmm.
and so he just went to doing the comic strip full time, and so there was a point where he was working in Cubicle Life, basically doing what we do,
mm-hmm.
it's almost exactly the same thing in fact. and then he was, making the humor about it, but it's been, now he's still talking about 1991 and it's 2011.
Right, right.
And it's just not all that funny.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame because, the guy seemed really talented, and is he still making, he's not still making the cartoon?
Oh, yeah, he is. And actually that was, when I introduced this originally, I actually introduced this because, apparently he has his own, website, set up for his comic strip. Apparently he created a sock puppet on the site, basically.
Oh, right.
That is when, right. It's when you, you kind of create another alias of yourself pretending to be somebody else, but then you just go on. And in Scott Adams' case, he went on and was like, "Oh my God, dude, Dilbert's the best comic strip ever. Scott Adams is a genius." And yeah, so then he got caught and he admitted to it. And now he's like saying, "Oh, it's like a big joke or whatever." And it's like, dude, I'm just thinking, if you're like Scott Adams, don't you have like people who actually feel that way about you?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
I'm really, really not getting it. But apparently, yeah, he did some of the great things that he said. "I assume you don't hate all self-promoters, such as homeless people applying for jobs. Is it Adams' enormous success in self-promotion that makes you jealous and angry?" Again, this is Scott Adams pretending to be somebody else talking about himself.
Interesting.
This is amazing.
Well, I would think that he would have such a big fan base that he wouldn't need to do that shit.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And so, apparently not. Apparently, people have caught on to his crap. the Sunday one, I'm not even sure whether the Sunday comic is, supposed to be ironic or not, because I don't think it is. I honestly think that the actual joke is that a guy says, "You can call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner."
I don't know. It's just not. It's not that humorous,
Makes you want to slap him. He should have made it some comment about the tsunami. See, now that would have been funny. Should have a new what are the Dogbert and Catbert? That's what those things are called. Should have a Birdbert, who could be Gilbert Gottfried, who just comes in and makes racist comments.
Oh.
That could be a whole new episode of Dilbert. That would be awesome. Yeah, that was my main point. That apparently they're still making these things, and apparently they are exactly the same as they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes people they just want to see something. It's like they expect a certain type of humor from an individual, and they don't want it to change up. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of things they just don't seem like they're even trying to be funny. Like, you remember Gasoline Alley?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I just, oh yeah, here's a great one. This is the Easter Gasoline Alley. Because, the Easter ones, those are the ones that everybody's reading, basically, because they got the, whole Sunday is off. So, what the heck, I have some free time. I may as well go in and read this comic. This is like the chance that you have to have somebody say, "Hey, this comic used to be, I used to read this comic every week, and I should really get back into reading this because it's worth reading." And so Gasoline Alley this week was, "God is like an airline. He makes the going great. God is like the power company. He lights your life." And so, at this point, I'm thinking, this could turn into something, if he went into God is like a serial killer. He kills you in the end. I don't know. I mean, there could be something that could work out of this. I don't think it would be appropriate for Gasoline Alley, but I think it could. But basically all it does is it just has four more things. God is like a wonder drug. He works miracles. And then finally, Happy Easter. That's like the worst fucking punchline I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. It really kills me that there isn't more quality control in regards to comics, newspaper comic strips. Because I'm sure if there were, I think more people would actually start reading them. Not to say that, people don't, but I think more people would if there were, there was someone out there just a whistleblower on humor.
Oh yeah.
The
whistleblower. They should have a 60-minute segment on that. "Listen, your Sunday comics, They're not fucking funny. Just look at all this shit that, I mean, that's like in here. I mean, these comics are like all exactly the same. I think Adam at Home was done by the guy who used to do the Seattle Times editorials, I think, until he got fired because he wasn't funny enough.
Hmm.
So now he does that all the time. Yeah, they're like BC they still have, which is like horrible back in the day, and just don't get why it's still around. There's a, I think Broomhilda is still being made.
Really?
I barely even remembered. Yeah. It gets to the point, like, you know, where something like you know, Boondocks comes out. It's so, I mean, it's like mildly funny from time to time. I'm not going to like give it, you know, too many props, but it is pretty funny sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of off and on, you know,
right.
Honest with you. You know, a lot, but lot like, of you know, the jargon, but yeah, political comments.
Right, and I mean, and not the funny political comments like Doonesbury has.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when you start on Doonesbury, it's like, I'm George Bush, look at me! My dad was invisible, so I am too, even though it's completely different. I just, you know, the fact that like Boondocks is like, you know, occasionally funny in that raw, you know, kind of way that like people today actually like, and you know, not in the, look at what my dog did! Oh, he's very large! Happy Easter! You know, like it gets taken out of like you know, newspapers throughout the country.
Right.
I just don't get it. Oh shit, they still have Heathcliff too. Heathcliff, the crappy second cousin to Garfield.
Garfield, yeah.
Like, it's not quite good enough to be Garfield, but he's still an. They didn't even try. It's like it's an orange cat, and he has little stripes.
Yeah,
on
I know.
Him.
You know, and you know, it's just probably not a very good comparison. But you know, if Garfield, if Garfield's the Transformers, I would probably equate Heathcliff to the GoBots. It's not
except
that great.
didn't the GoBots come out first though?
You know, I think so actually, but they just got trumped by the Transformers. You know, and I mean, it was just a better product overall. You know,
that's
it's like if you got
it, true.
So funny. You know, I always used to say it's like if you got a GoBot. You know, what I was saying is, you know, if you got a GoBot back in the 80s as a kid, your parents just didn't like you very much.
Oh, shut up. I got GoBots, damn it. I got all kinds of GoBots.
Your parents hated your ass.
I think, yeah, well, it's more of my parents were cheap. I think I did get a couple GoBots, and then I want to say I got like a couple Transformers. I got one, like, regular size Transformer. You know, there's, like, Wheelie, the annoying one in the comic strip that was also, like, a regular, like, basically it was a GoBot, only it was made by Transformers. Like, I think I got that one. But yeah, the only one that I had would like that took like any complexity to put together was the was Jazz.
Well,
I think it was
the thing about it is that, I mean, with the GoBots, there was just no sophistication in regards to the way that they transformed.
Right. I know,
you know, it's like, okay, let's
exactly
undo
the
legs. The okay, hey, it's a robot now. You know, it's Transformers. It's like you had to put a little bit more effort into it, which I appreciate.
Right.
You know, but it's like, oh, hey, let's just flip the car over. Hey, it's a robot.
This just didn't care. Sucks. Okay, so by the way, I'm checking it. That's okay. Heathcliff came out in 1973. Garfield, 1978. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
It is. Garfield is.
So, yeah.
It's literally the same.
Yeah,
it's,
basically,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like Heathcliff is to Garfield what the GoBots are the Transformers, or what Living Single is to Friends. Except the Living Single was funnier than Friends was.
You're listening to the Johnny Slick Podcast.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Thanks to Gibran on this one, as well as all the people that we have directly or indirectly insulted, called out, or otherwise referenced on this podcast. We are now on iTunes. Please go and vote for us there on Podcast Alley, because that's how people get the word out. Sign up for the feed directly at johnnyslickpodcast.podomatic.com, or again, you can sign up for it on iTunes. Otherwise, thanks for listening to us for this long. We hope you have a great evening or whatever it is that you have.
Reproduction or rebroadcast of the Johnny Slick Podcast without express written consent from Major League Baseball is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2011. Listening to this message means the Johnny Slick podcast owns your babies.
Klaatu! Murata!
Okay, then.
That's it.